Amen, because in our fellowship in Gainesville, everybody is glad to have someone come by and share. So, I feel like you're tall.
That was built for me.
Good night. You're tall. Praise the Lord. I'd like to bring a greeting from Calvary Chapel in Gainesville, Florida. My wife and I are 15 years. We founded the church in Gainesville, Florida. Pastor Malcolm Wilde is my pastor from Merritt Island, and we left in 1995 to start a fellowship in Gainesville. We knew nobody who lived in the city, and I wouldn't recommend that necessarily, but it's exactly what God had in mind for us, because God had a lot of work to do in the minister before he could build a ministry. And about 4 years ago, I met Pastor Carty, and I've known some of the guys from upstate New York here. Pastor Bill Gallatin and Scott have been coming and doing our men's Bible studies for a number of years, our men's retreats. And so we've gotten to know some of the guys up here in upstate New York and enjoy having a kindred heart with what God is doing. Whether we're large or whether we're small makes no difference. It's the matter of the heart, isn't it? It is for all of us. And we don't say that because, well, we don't statistically measure to what other fellowships might or might not. We recognize that God looks at the heart and God measures the heart and God desires that we walk in obedience to his call in our lives. And along that, Carty asked if I would share a little bit of the testimony of how we got to where we are and what's happening. And I know Matt Kirk over here, he stopped in Gainesville for a couple of years and fellowshipped with us as he was leaving this area and coming back. Where he went was down in Gainesville. So if he came back any different, if it was better, you're welcome. If it was worse, I can't say anything other than it was Matt. So, you know. But a number of years ago, I've always been involved in missions. I've always gone overseas. Before I was a pastor, I was an elder at Calvary Chapel in Merritt Island and went overseas to teach the inductive Bible study seminar, teaching pastors and Christian workers how to study the Word of God for themselves. It's always been a desire of mine to see people dig into the Word. That's why I love midweek fellowships, because we are here as volunteers, aren't we? We're not here for any other reason. We're here to hear the Word of God and to dig into the Word of God. And while that was happening in my life, I found myself going to China 4 years ago for the first time. And I thought when I was going to China, I would be getting my passport stamped one more time and go on to the next country. And the Lord began to lay the country of China upon my heart. And I have since been back to China 8 times. And over the course of the last 4 years, the Lord has been confirming his steps in my life, as he does with all of our lives. But sometimes I'm a little thick and I need to hear more than once. But he's been confirming his steps in our lives. And my wife, Jane, who is with me, she retired from her work at the hospital in administration in January of this year. And last month, 4 weeks ago, I stepped down as a senior pastor in our fellowship. And I passed it on to the fellowship onto a young man that God has raised up in our midst, who is 26 years old. His name is Robert. Pray for Robert. Pray for our fellowship. What the Lord has done is he has taken what God had very graciously birthed through the work and the service that Jane and I provided at Calvary Chapel Gainesville. He's taken it out of our hands and placed it in another man's hands, because he has another season for us. There's still fire in my belly. I'm not so old that all I want to do is play golf, although I would like the sun to shine. Does it shine in New York? Not sometimes. Whew, man. Yeah, well, we brought golf clubs. We're in faith believing, but we're trusting that that God is directing our steps. He tells us in the scripture that he does. And as he directs our steps, the question then is, how does he direct our steps and how do we listen? Because I don't know about you, I have a hard time understanding what God is saying sometimes. Don't you? I mean, let's be honest. There's no sense in not being honest. This is church. You know, I struggle hearing what the Lord is saying, or understanding how the Lord is speaking. Now, you and I, we know that the Lord is always speaking. We know that the Lord is always trying to get our attention and always trying to direct our steps. It tells us that. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. So if you would turn with me to Psalm 37. I'm going to put in a little, not a plug for the ministry that God has birthed. I'm going to perhaps share some of the testimony tonight. But we began a ministry a number of years ago called Friends for China with a friend of ours from China, a man by the name of John Wu, Pastor Wood, you might know him as. I don't know if he's been here with your fellowship. Good brother, loves the Lord. last year we formed another ministry called Life Training Institute China. And there are four pastors who are on our board. Pastor Ed Gaines from Cincinnati, a friend of mine who's a pastor in the Clearwater area in Florida, and Pastor Jeff Breed from Calvary Rochester is on our board, along with two missionaries who have returned from China. And our purpose, our goal, our desire is to take the Word of God and to help train people in the underground church systematically through the Scriptures for a year to a year and a half, teaching them through the Scriptures how to handle the Word of God well, and then releasing them, if you will, back to their churches so that they might go and teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 is really the main scripture that speaks to our hearts. And I've got a business card for you. I've got some bookmarks, and there's some scrolls and some other things out in the foyer. And I would appreciate very much if you would give us your email address so we might send you news information, and you can pray for our ministry. We're not here to solicit funds. We're not here for any purpose like that. Just here to try and just let people know what's happening. And if you have an email address, we'd love to be able to keep in contact with you. And please take a couple of bookmarks and put them on the refrigerator and pray for China. 1.4 billion people. And the underground church in China is growing dynamically. There are 70 to 120 million Christians in China. I think there are more Christians in China than the United States, don't you? I don't mean culturally. These guys really believe it, and they live it. So, but they don't have any heritage like we have. They don't have any tradition like we have. And so they look to the Western church to come and help equip them in handling the Word of God, that they might go forth and do the work God's called them to. It's a glorious, glorious opportunity. And I'm thrilled to be a part of that. And so that's what brings me to upstate New York, but I am a teacher more than a missionary. And so let's take a look at Psalm 37, and again, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word and to just zero in on a promise or two that you make in your word that we recognize as your promise to us. And then, Lord, how do we live that out? How do we understand it? How do we apply it? And so, Father, I pray that you would illuminate to us, take these words of mine, Lord, and may they be yours, and may your heart speak to ours. Father, it's our desire. It is firmly our desire, Lord, to walk in a way that's fully pleasing to you in every good work. And so speak tonight, Lord, I pray. Encourage our hearts and bless your word in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. All right. Psalm 37. On the first day, God created the dog. And he said, sit by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks past. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 20 years. I'm not reading from a strange version of the Bible. This is an illustration. Just so don't look for this in Psalm 37. The dog said, that's a long time to be barking. How about only 10 years? I'll give you 10 years back. And God agreed. On the second day, God created the monkey and said, entertain people. Do tricks. Make them laugh. For this, I will give you 20 years. The monkey said, monkey tricks for 20 years? That's a pretty long time to perform. How about I give you back 10, just like the dog? And God agreed. On the third day, God created the cow and said, you must go into the field with the farmer all day long and suffer under the sun. Have calves. Give milk to support the farmer's family. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, that's kind of a tough life. You want me to live for 60 years. How about 20? And I'll give you the other 40 back. And God agreed. On the fourth day, God created humans, and he said, eat, sleep, play, marry, enjoy your life. For this, I will give you 20 years. But the human said, only 20 years? Could you possibly give me my 20 and the 40 that the cow gave back and the 10 that the monkey gave back and the 10 that the dog gave back? That's 80. And God agreed. So that's why for the first 20 years, we eat and we sleep and we play and we enjoy ourselves. For the next 40 years, we slave in the sun, under the sun, to provide for our families. For the next 10 years, that's where I am in my life, we do monkey tricks to entertain our grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, we sit on the front porch and we bark at everybody. That was a public service for you, so now you know what the lifespan and the plan of God is in our lives. No. There are seasons in life, aren't there? And there are ways that God speaks to us and directs our lives. And I want to draw your attention to Psalm 37, verse 23. And we're going to look at one promise of God. And this is a little awkward for me because I'm an expositor. I'm a teacher. I'm accustomed to chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And I'd like to go through chapter 37 today, but it took me 3 weeks in Gainesville and I go for over an hour. And I know you guys want to get home before Thursday. So I'm just going to focus on the bullet points of one promise of God and then ask you in your private devotions to just consider what God might say. If you take notes, I'd encourage you. There are four things I'd like you to write down. And if you don't like writing in your own Bible, you can make notes in your neighbor's. Psalm 37 is a great psalm. You and I might know it very well. It contains a lot of directions. It contains some promises. It also contains some contrasts. Hebrew poetry very often is written with something that's called parallelism, where the author will write in contrasting thoughts. We see that in Psalm 37. We see the ungodly or the wicked, and we see the godly or the righteous, and the contrast between the lifestyles of the two and the results of the two. We will not be focusing at all on the ungodly today, because we're only going to be taking a look at the promises to the godly or to the righteous. In Psalm 37, verse 23, we read, and I love this, "The steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord, and he, the Lord, delights in his way." I read from the New King James Version. I hope that's acceptable to you. I know it's not the official version that Paul used, but you teach out of the King James, don't you, Cardi? Bless your little heart. I can't get to the these and thous, but "The steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord." That's a promise, isn't it, that God makes to us. Now, we know that we are good only because of the blood of Christ, right? I mean, we're here on Wednesday night. This is not an evangelical message to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. My presumption this evening is that everyone understands that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our goodness is not anything that we do or don't do. It is something that God has done on our behalf, and we are therefore then called good in His eyes because we have a right standing with the Lord. We have a right relationship with the Lord that is based completely upon grace. Nothing upon works. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. We recognize that our goodness, our righteousness, all comes as a result of the relationship we have with God through Christ Jesus. We know that we are all sinners by nature, but cleansed by His blood. And praise the Lord, we'll be having communion this evening. What a wonderful opportunity just to one more time remember the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross for us. So when we read this promise in verse 23 that the steps or the walk or the lifestyle of a good man are ordered or directed or established by the Lord, and He delights in His ways, we recognize, of course, that that goodness comes from having that right relationship with God. But how then, if we are all good? And we are all good then by that biblical definition, right? Everyone in this room is good. I know there's none good, no, not one. I know all those scriptures. But in reality, according to God's word, we are all good in His eyes because of our relationship with Christ. Amen? Okay. So if that's the case, how are our steps established by God? As I studied through this, we were going through the book of Psalms. It took us a number of, about 6 months, I guess, to go through the first 40 Psalms when I was still teaching late last year. And when we got to Psalm 37, I really got to this verse, and I just focused on it because I love studying inductively. And Lord, how are my steps ordered? How do You direct my steps? We know it tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps." Well, all right, I trust in Him. I rely on Him. And He will direct my steps. But how do I know what way my steps are? Because you and I know that our God does not have a hands-off relationship with us. He doesn't fashion us into His image when we are born again and release us and say, "Good luck, I'll see you in heaven." That's not the kind of relationship we have with Him. It's a constant relationship, isn't it? And He's always wanting to provide direction for our lives. How do we know where to go? When to stop? When to start? When to turn? How do we know? Well, I thought about that a lot, and I made some notes of it, and it's turned into what I think the Lord has really laid upon my heart to share with people because, in a sense, it's sort of my testimony, especially over the last years. There are four ways that this evening I'd like you to consider with me as to how God directs our steps. Four ways. And we'll write these down as bullet points because I probably won't get through them all, and then you can consider them. Number one, the first way that God speaks to us, and it should be very easy to make this point because I'm at a fellowship that I know teaches the Word. You came in this evening, and most of you, if not all of you, had your Bibles with you. They're open and they're well read. We know, first and foremost, the way that God speaks to us is, number one, through His Word. Through His Word. Number two, through prayer. Our communication with the Lord. Our life with the Lord is not distant. It is to be intimate. Now, we all have different seasons in our prayer life. Perhaps we all have strengths and weaknesses. We all have times when we feel as if we are really spot on with the Lord and doing well. And then there's other times, perhaps, where we feel as if we're just not there in connection with Him. At least I have those times. But the reality is that you and I know in our heart of hearts that the Word of God and prayer is the way that God wants to speak to us, the way that God will always speak to us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word abides forever. Men come and go. They rise and they fall. But God is eternal, isn't He? And that, we know, doesn't change. A third way that God very often speaks to us is through counsel. And there's Scripture that speaks to that. In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. You ever heard that? That's in the book of Proverbs. But we're going to talk about that this evening. Because I think it's a danger sometimes to rely upon. Well, we'll talk about that. The fourth way I believe that God very often does speak to us is through circumstances of life. When things you and I might say, or the world might say, are coincidences. You know, the way something happens and you go, ooh, God must be trying to get my attention. Now, we're going to work our way down that list, and we're going to speak about those four things and try and, if I can say it, prioritize them. Because I think as a young believer, because we don't know the Word of God, we don't know how to trust the Lord as much as we can as we walk with Him. We don't understand the relationship that God wants to have intimately with us, and we know that God wants to speak. We very often are looking for circumstances and counsel to direct our lives. You ever been in that situation where you don't know what to do, and then, whoop, there goes a bus with a word on it that you go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. I've done that. And God can confirm through all of those things, but we'll talk about the priorities. We'll take them from the top, so if I run out of time, we run out of time with the things that are least important. Number one, the Word. Number one, the Word of God. How does the Lord direct our steps? Through His Word. Psalm 40, verse 8 says something very interesting. It says, I delight to do Your will, O my God, and Your law, Your Word, is within my heart. And you know Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 continually says, not just how can a young man cleanse his ways by hiding His Word and by hiding Your Word in his heart, but all of Psalm 119 speaks about the Word of God directing and molding and shaping our lives. Turn with me to Psalm 119 for a moment. Psalm 119, we'll take a look at verse 105. You guys all right with this? You need to talk back to me. Okay. I said that really bad, talk back to me. It sounds like I'm... Verse 105, look. You know the Scripture. I can just start it. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your Word directs my steps, guides my steps. But as we read our way through some of the sections in Psalm 119, look back at verse 9 in Psalm 119. And we'll read these eight verses just to get a flavor of how by God's Word, the Holy Spirit in our life will speak to us the direction we are to go. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your Word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commands. Your Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. Another word for the Word of God. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of Your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts, the depth of God's Word. Contemplate Your ways. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your Word. And on David goes in Psalm 119, like different facets of a diamond, just pointing to the reality that it's the Word of God that directs our life. And you and I know if the steps of a good man or good woman are ordered or established by God, the first way we know what way to walk is through the Word. Amen? Now, here's something about the Word of God that I'm sure you know. The Word of God gives everybody on this planet, including the one who was taken out a couple days ago, general revelation. The general revelation of God's Word is that He would have none to perish. Amen? I mean, God tells us that. The general revelation of God's Word, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, who is that written to? All of mankind. All of mankind. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's not just true for the people in upstate New York or in Florida or American. It's for all mankind. General revelation. General principles come through the Word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. A light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. The general revelation of God comes through His Word. The lifestyle that we are to live, generally, all of us, comes from God's Word. But God's Word also speaks very specifically, doesn't it? The correct phrase for that is the rhema word. You know that word rhema? It means specific word, or it's a very specific word to us. Where the Word of God is not just filled with general principles that we all can claim, but that God also uses His Word to speak specifically to us. A specific time, a specific place, with a specific word that goes right directly to my heart, and it might mean nothing to the person next to me. That's how God's Word is so marvelous. God leads us through life's decisions, not just with general revelation, but with specific revelation. A little testimony. In 1994, Jane and I were in California for a conference, and we knew that God had called us somewhere to leave Merritt Island to go and to become involved in ministry. I was kicking and screaming at it. I didn't want anything to do with pastoring a church. I like being an elder at Merritt Island. You know, you can be an elder and not like people. Is there an elder in this room tonight? Yeah, you can. I didn't really care for people. If you weren't serious about your walk with the Lord, I'd be glad to encourage you to go out the parking lot, get in your car, and go to the church up the road. They'll probably be glad to have you. As a pastor, you can't do that. As a pastor, you actually have to love people. So God gave me a heart to love. And we recognized we were called to go and at the age of 48 and start a fellowship. But we didn't know where. We didn't know what our ministry was going to look like. We have no talent. I can't sing, and Jane's not involved in children's ministry. We have an empty nest. Our daughter's 40 years old. So we're really not well balanced and qualified to go and start a fellowship. And we were praying about different places to go, and we were praying about going to Ukraine. We were praying about going to Orlando, two foreign countries. We were praying about going to, you know, to South Florida, a real foreign country. We didn't know where we were going to go. We were considering going to Gainesville, although we'd never lived in Gainesville. I'd driven through it a couple of times. It's about 3 hours from where we lived in Florida. And we were out in California. Jane and I were out at a pastor's conference out there. Malcolm told us we should come. That was when you could go to the West Coast Pastor's Conference and not be a pastor. And the guys from California, from Florida prayed for us, and we got back on the plane and flew to Atlanta. And I received a sign from the Lord. I'll just tell you about that later. But we came back to Merritt Island, and I was all excited because I had confirmation that I was supposed to go to Gainesville. Well, Jane didn't like my sign. It was a shiny thing. You know, ooh, look, a shiny thing. And then, oh, look, another shiny thing. And I was wandering around looking for God's confirmation, not in His Word, just for confirmation somehow. And Jane said, I want to have God's Word confirm. And in her quiet time, one day, as she was preparing, I think, to go to work, the Lord just flashed across her mind a scripture. Or more accurately, a situation in Scripture. And it was Joshua and Caleb, go in faith believing. And she goes and she dug out the Word of God and she turned to Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 13, I think it is, or 14, it speaks about Joshua and Caleb and 10 other men going into the promised land to spy it out. You remember that story? Well, the point of it for Jane and for us is that the way the land was described from where we lived fit Gainesville perfectly. Go to a place north of here. There are rolling hills and big trees. The people are great. University town. wise. See what it's like. Scope out the land. And that for Jane was a specific word that confirmed to her that Gainesville was where we were supposed to go. Now, is that weak? It might sound weak to somebody who wasn't given that word, but to somebody who was given that word in the Bible, that was a very, very solid confirmation from God that he was directing our steps. Have you ever had God do that for you? Give you that kind of a word? Not that you're looking, saying, okay, Lord, I'm looking. You've heard about that, you know, pointing your finger and looking for God to say something. No, not at all. But as you're going through your devotions, as you're going through your studies, as you're listening to the Word of God being brought into your life, whether it's through a teacher or whether it's through the radio or however, God just blazes within your heart from His Word something that speaks directly to your condition of life at that moment. Does that ever happen to you? It's a wonderful thing. And you know what? It's kind of like Moses with the burning bush. You remember Moses had that burning bush experience? And for 40 years, he had 2 million people complaining. And I think if I was him, I'd have thrown in the towel more than once. Except he had the burning bush. He had the Word of God that he knew was going to direct him. Joshua, you see, all of the men of God having God's Word specific to them that they would lean upon and rest in and be directed by. It's so important that we have the Word of God to direct our steps. When we moved to Gainesville in 1995, the Lord had impressed upon Jane and I the way that we were to build the ministry that God wanted us to have. And, of course, mentally, I thought it would be just like Merritt Island, only better, because I knew all the problems at Merritt Island. Of course, I brought them all with me because I was part of the problems at Merritt Island. And it's a great church, by the way. Malcolm is the greatest pastor in the whole Calvary Chapel movement. I have no doubt he is my pastor, but, you know, sometimes you have a sense of knowing what God wants to tell you. And he had given us some scriptures, some very specific scriptures to kind of plant our feet on when we went to Gainesville. And these scriptures were, well, they were preeminent in our lives. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or stands in the path of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful, but he meditates upon the law of the Lord. He delights in it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in his season, leaf not withering. Whatever he does will prosper. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. These are not unique scriptures that a pastor would claim as his own, but they were mine. And they meant something to me that years before hadn't meant much to me, but now they meant something very specific. As Jesus spoke to Peter in John chapter 21, you remember that commission. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Well, the commission of Jesus is tend my lambs, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Now, you and I know that as a pastoral call. I'd read that. I'd taught that. I'd been part of John chapter 21. I knew what it said, but I didn't know what it said until it became mine. That's the rhema word of God. That's the specific word of God. And gang, I'm telling you something you already know, is that if you want God to direct your steps, number one, you need to find direction through His Word. Amen? Because again, the grass withers, the flower fades, men rise, men fall, conditions change. Down is up and up is down. Just wait a couple years. But the Word of God doesn't change. It is always not only solid and stable and without fail, it is always living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The way that God has to speak to us first and foremost is through his Word. And God has given us Scripture to direct us and to kind of, kind of tell us in advance what it is our ministry is to be all about. As we've grown in our walk with the Lord, as each one of us grows in our walk with the Lord, there are times when God gives us a new life scripture. Anybody here have a life scripture? You know, something that God just spoke to you and that's it, and wow, you hold on to it, it's yours. There will be seasons in your life where God will bring another scripture to your heart that you'll just hold on to and say, that's me. That's me for this season. That's me for right now. And praise the Lord that God's Word does speak so clearly to us. And it does. Whether or not we hear, but He's always speaking. How else does the Lord direct our steps? Through prayer. Through prayer. Now, you and I know what prayer is. And I'm not going to pretend to teach you on a subject that you know very well. But what do we know about prayer? As we communicate with the Father, and He communicates with us, prayer is listening as much as speaking, isn't it? with an open Bible and an open heart, speaking to God and hearing from Him, God will give us direction. He'll give us that confirmation, that peace in our heart. I love what Martin Luther said. He said, "You pray, let God worry." Isn't that good? And, well, we know it from Philippians, don't we? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And He doesn't promise us an answer as much as He promises us peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and will guard our minds in Christ Jesus. He not only develops our character of waiting upon the Lord and trusting in the Lord, He also directs our actions through prayer. I'd encourage you, just as a homework assignment, I love giving out homework assignments. I live in Gainesville. There's 60,000 students in our town. That's what they need, is more homework when they come to church. But let me give you a homework assignment. Next time you read through the Gospel of Mark in your devotions, the next time you're just reading through, there are 6 places in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus, it's specifically stated by Mark, that Jesus went aside and prayed. And as you read those places in the Scripture, consider what happened before Jesus went to pray, what happened while He was praying, and what happened after He was praying. Mark is a great narrative. It just follows the life of Christ as the servant man. And if you and I take a look at those illustrations of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was in constant communication with the Father, He always prayed when you and I would find reasons not to. Well, I won't speak for you. I would find reasons not to. I've had a long day. I need to sleep in tomorrow. Anybody ever use that excuse? Don't raise your hand. Cardi, put your hand back down. You know, I mean, when we've had a long day, that's when we say, man, I need to sleep in. Don't we? Every time when there was a big day, Jesus got up early the next day before dawn and went out to a place to pray. And it's interesting, every time after prayer, Jesus changed the mode of ministry that He had the day before. We have to leave this town. Peter comes out and says to Jesus, everyone's looking for you. The crowd's back in here. We're ready to go again. And Jesus says, we need to go to another place. What? We're just settled down. Mom's making falafel and eggs. We're going to eat. The crowd's ready. No, we have to go somewhere else. How would Jesus know? His steps were directed by the Lord in prayer. I believe God speaks to us through prayer. And believe God directs our steps through prayer. And it's absolutely vital for us to hear His voice. Because men's voices, well, let God be true and every man liar. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And I want to know God's heart, don't you? I want to know God's ways. Now, in order to pray and in order to have our prayers not just be something that bounces off the ceiling and comes back, we know things to avoid. We know not to make our prayers rote, not to make them a matter of trying to obligate God. I thank You, Lord, that I'm not like other men. You know, I fast twice a week. I give everything to the poor. I'm not like this poor common sinner over here. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector going into the temple. We know that in order to have a right prayer life, I speak to all of us, because all of us have our times, we struggle. But when we are spot on with the Lord in prayer, we're having a purity of heart. We're having faith to believe. We're at a place when we can ask according to the will of God. You know, Jesus said, have faith. Have faith. If you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it'll be removed. Well, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? How can I know it will be done? 1 John tells me, if I ask according to His will, I know that He hears me. And I know that if He hears me, I have the petition I've asked for, because it's His pleasure to give me His will. Amen? So the key for you and me is to put ourselves in a place where we're actually praying according to God's will, and then hearing His direction, because we have that open line of communication, that open heart of communication. And God directs our steps by answering our prayers and by speaking to us in our times of prayer. So, open Bible, open heart. Lord, speak to me. As we pour out and He pours in, He will direct our steps. Remember again Psalm 37. Now, I'm sorry this isn't verse-by-verse exposition, but God's given me something to share. Psalm 37, the steps of a righteous man are directed or established by the Lord, and He delights in His way. How do we know what the ways are that we're to walk in, except we hear from Him? How do we hear from Him? Number one, by His word, right? Number two, through prayer. Notice that neither of those involve anybody else except the Holy Spirit who dwells within. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That sounds like a mature walk, doesn't it? Not a flaky walk. Sounds like a mature walk. Because there are times when, I don't know about you, but there are times when I've not known what to do. And I've wanted, well, I haven't wanted to take a shortcut necessarily. At least I didn't think it was a shortcut. But I thought if I can just ask my pastor what he thinks I should do, then I'll know what I'm supposed to do. Because after all, he's a godly man, and he knows me, and he'll just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Has anyone here ever done? No. We do that. We do that. It's our human nature. I don't want to work that hard. I'd rather somebody just tell me what to do. And after all, in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom, the scripture says. Now here's the problem. Sometimes a counselor misses it. I won't ask Carter if he's ever missed it in counseling. I know I have. There are times even when, notice this, a good man can give a wrong answer. Did you know that? See, we have a tendency to think if I go to a godly man who prays, he'll know what to do because after all, he hears from God. And if I'm doing something that's good, after all, if I'm a man who's after God's own heart, and I'm just delighting in the Lord, and I love Him, and everything is good in my life, and after all, we're at peace, I've got money, and I live in a beautiful house, and God, He only has a little tent, and I love my God, so I think I should build Him a house. And what do you think, Nathan? Remember Nathan and David? David was a man after God's heart, wasn't he? I mean, that guy was, he had the right attitude, the right heart, the right desire. And he wasn't sure what to do, or I don't know, maybe he was just talking to his friend, the priest, Nathan. Nate, I'm thinking of building a house for God. After all, I live in this gorgeous mansion, and we still have a tent for him. I've got the money. We're at peace. What do you think? What did Nathan say? Go for it. Sounds good. Good man asking a good thing from a good counselor. What was the answer? Right or wrong? Wrong. God comes to Nathan. You find this in 2 Samuel, I think it is. God comes to Nathan and says, Nathan, we got to talk. You didn't ask me. David can't build me a house. His hands are bloody. He's a man of war. He can accumulate for the house, but his son is the one who's going to build the house. Now, you need to go tell David. See, sometimes when we ask for counsel, a good counselor can give us bad advice. Did you know that? It can happen. I won't ask if anybody here has gotten bad financial advice from a good financial counselor. I think if they've had 52%, they think they're experts, you know. But spiritually even, we can miss the mark, can't we? Sometimes when we go and we ask for counsel, we already know what we want to hear. And we ask somebody until we find somebody who agrees with what we want, and we say, there you go, there's confirmation. Solomon had a son by the name of Rehoboam, you remember? Solomon had died. Everything was good. They came to Rehoboam, his son, and said, Solomon placed a real heavy burden on the people. If you want the people to love you, if you want the people to support you, lighten the burden of taxes. It sounds like it could have been written today, doesn't it? Lighten the burden of taxes, the people will love you. Rehoboam said, come back in 3 days, I'll let you know. Now this was all of the Lord. God knew what was going to happen and he used it all. But look at the lesson. Rehoboam called the elders who had been with Solomon and said, this is what they want. They want us to give them a little bit of a break. Say, if we give them a break, things will go well. What do you think? And the elders? They said, that's right on. You should give them a tax break. You should be generous to them. They will support you. They will love you forever. Rehoboam wasn't looking for that answer, was he? He didn't want to hear that. So he called his buddies. He said, here's what the people want. They want us to give them a break. Buddies said, no. Tell them you ain't seen nothing yet. You know, there's a new sheriff in town. You know, add 10% to everything that you now pay or whatever. And Rehoboam, because that's what he wanted to hear, that's the counsel he received. We find places in Scripture where there was good counsel and bad counsel given more than once, and the king or the person who asked for the counsel chose the bad because that's what they were wanting to hear in the first place. When we try and direct our lives by listening to the counsel of others, it can be dangerous, can't it? Our counselor can be off or our hearts can be off. Very often our hearts are, aren't they? Because we don't know what the Lord has in mind. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when we say yes and God says no, I don't care how many counselors we can get who will agree with our yes, God is right. I believe that a younger Christian very often will seek counsel from men rather than God's word. And I believe as a counselor, one of the biggest challenges I have one of the biggest challenges we have is we try and impart wisdom to other people's lives, and we're all in that position to do so, is to point them to the Word of God and let God speak, not to act on God's behalf and say, well, this is what you need to do. Now, if we're pointing out sin, if we're dealing with a situation that is very obvious in Scripture, that's something else. But if I'm thinking of going here and I might go there, what do you think? Which of the two do you think? So often what people will do, so often what is done in the Scriptures where they would do wrongly is they would basically take a piece of paper, they'd draw a line, they'd have yes on this side and no on this side, they'd make the reasons why yes and why no, they'd make a decision and then ask God to bless it. That's not the way God wants to direct our steps. God wants to show us His ways. He will very often confirm our steps through counsel, but I don't believe that He initiates our steps through counsel. I believe He should initiate our steps through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, in our relationship with Him personally. Amen. And fourthly, and this is the one that almost is comical if you think about it, very often we ask God to direct our steps through circumstances of life. I know no one in New York has ever done that, but in Florida we have a lot of people who do that. I don't know, maybe we're not taught very well or something. No, we're all human, aren't we? You know, I mean, I'm here tonight. I'm not here to talk about China, but I'm a missionary that's the Lord is developing a ministry long term and short term for people to go to China. And maybe you like Chinese food, and that's, wow, maybe I'm supposed to go to China. Well, maybe you are, but I'd like you to have confirmation from God's Word rather than just have it be the coincidence of somebody from China stopping by. I told you in 1994, Jane and I flew back from California from the pastors' conference, and the guys in California, the Florida pastors, I knew most of them, they prayed for Jane and I, they prayed for me specifically that God would give us wisdom because we knew it was time for us to leave our fellowship and didn't know where to go. And I praise the Lord that nobody told me where to go. They were just praying for God's wisdom. Lord, show Ted. He's so thick-headed. Make sure you show him in a way he just cannot deny. We got on an airplane. We flew to Atlanta, and then we were continuing on to North Carolina, which is where my family was having a reunion. Oh, we've never been to Gainesville. Jane has never been in Gainesville. I used to drive through Gainesville on business, but don't know one human being who lives in that city. Not one. We get to the Atlanta airport. Get on a plane to go to Raleigh, North Carolina, and a man steps right in front of me and starts walking right in front of me on the plane, and I knew without a doubt that he was from Gainesville. How do you know? Well, if you know anything about the city of Gainesville, we have a university there called the University of Florida, the Gators. You ever hear of the Florida Gators? It's great to be a Florida Gator. There was a football coach there in 1994 by the name of Steve Spurrier. Some of you might know who he is. I certainly did. And he got on the plane right in front of Jane and I. And I said, Jane, it's been less than 24 hours. The guys in Florida were praying for me in California. That guy would confirm to me where we're supposed to go. That's Steve Spurrier. We're going to Gainesville. I was sure we were going to Gainesville. Now, that is where we were supposed to go. But aren't you glad, isn't Jane glad, that we didn't go to Gainesville because we were following Steve Spurrier? Because 5 years later, he moved to Washington, D.C., and 4 years after that, he moved to Charleston, South Carolina, and I don't know where he's going next, and I am not going to follow Steve Spurrier. God used that to give me some comfort. I mean, I'm a little thick-headed, and I thought, that's cool. But you know what? Sometimes we look for those kinds of things to direct our lives, and the enemy knows exactly what to dangle in front of you. Oh, look, a shiny thing. I'll go that way. Be careful. As we wind our message down here, be careful as God directs your steps to make sure He's directing your steps, number one, through His Word. Number two, through prayer. As the Holy Spirit who dwells within gives you the peace of God which passes understanding. So you know that 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 God is directing your steps because God has spoken to you. Not your pastor and not some football coach, but God. Because we have that relationship with Him, don't we? We have that relationship with Him that God desires, that we would ask and seek and knock, that we would search His Scriptures, and He will speak to us. He doesn't hide His will from us. It's His desire to give us direction. Let's look at Psalm 37. Let's read a few things as we close. And what we'll look at from Psalm 37 now with this introduction, because that's what you've gotten is the introduction. Let's read some of Psalm 37 together that basically speaks to you and to me, as a good man who desires to be directed by God. I pray that would be every one of us in this room tonight, right? I want my steps to be ordered by God. I have a part to play. I have a preparation. I have imperatives, instructions that are given to me. I have things that I am supposed to do or be in order for God to direct my steps in order to hear his voice. Let's read through some of Psalm 37, and I'm sorry, I'm going to read through and we're going to bounce over some, but I want you to just look at the imperatives that God gives to us. Notice with me. First of all, verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Don't worry about those who are not walking with the Lord and their effect on your life. But now notice this. These are instructions that God gives to you and I. And you might even want to underline or circle the verse numbers and write them down as a list and commit them to kind of to your spiritual memory as to what it means for you to be able to hear from the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know that that means if we find our delight in God, he gives us his desires, and our desires become his. He will be our joy. Commit your way to the Lord, verse 5. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves, notice this, in the abundance of peace. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Verse 21, notice the contrast here. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. Want to know how God speaks to you? These are imperatives for you and me. For those who are blessed by him shall inherit the earth. Those who are cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall down, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young. David is writing this as an old man. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. There's other scriptures, but let's just drop down to the last two, verse 39 and verse 40. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. As we prepare for communion now, it's a great time to have communion. We're to be reminded again of the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. The Lord is so gracious to us that he would once again remind us of how he desires to direct, to order our steps in our lives. Whether we're talking about a small step, what you and I would call a small decision, or a major life change, God is speaking nonetheless to direct every single move of our life. The question is, do we hear him? Have an open book. Have an open heart. Look for God's wisdom to be spoken through men. It's very often through counsel. Cardi, I need to make an appointment. What do you think? You know what? It's more often than that when Cardi makes some offhanded comment from the pulpit and you go, ooh, that is for me. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Thank you. Has anyone here ever received that on a Sunday morning? I know I sure have. I have when I've spoken. Like, whoa, I need to write that down. That's for me. And you know, very often, most often, I'll speak as a teacher now. It's not in the notes. It's not anything Cardi said, all right, George needs to hear this point. And no, it's not like that. God will use a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge to speak directly to you. He will provide counsel for you and me as we are continuing to seek his face. And then when we go outside and we see the rainbow in the sky, or we see the football coach walk through the airport or whatever, we can have the joy of God almost laughing with us at the confirmations he gives us to show us once again how much he loves to direct our steps. God is good and greatly to be praised. Amen. And it's then with confidence that Moses could lead 2 million people for 40 years. It's with confidence that Joshua could lead a rebellious nation into the promised land. Because he had the word of God. He had the peace of God. as you consider the taking of the city of Jericho, as you consider the successes we find in the scriptures, as you consider the life of Daniel, as you consider the life of Paul, or your life or mine, as we see God moving and directing our steps, we can say, thank you, Lord, for your living word. Thank you, Father, for the loving relationship you have given to us, that when we come to you in prayer, you not only hear us, but you speak. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for directing and guiding our every step. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, if there's been anything said that's displeasing or improper to you, I pray it would fall away. But whatever you might have said to us tonight that would resonate within our hearts, Lord, I pray that you would settle. I don't know the decisions any one of us might be facing, the steps that any of us are considering. But Lord, you know the beginning from the end. You know the ways that you would have us to go. And you even say to us, Lord, this is the way. Walk you in it. Lord, may we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart willing to respond. As we hold the emblems again in our hands of our Lord's new covenant, we're drawn once again to the teaching of Christ and the joy. As that night that he was betrayed, after supper, he took bread, and he broke it, blessed, broke, and gave to his disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As we hold the bread and we hold the cup, we have opportunity once more to rejoice in the God of our salvation, to give thanks to our Savior, to make right what perhaps we have held out to be wrong, and one time more, celebrate and remember the sacrifice upon Calvary's cross. I want to invite you to take of the cup, of the bread and the cup, when you have the sense that you might have the peace of God and peace with God. We thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your broken body, the broken body of your Son upon Calvary's cross, that he, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your stripes we have been healed. You were pierced, you were wounded, you were crushed on our behalf. Not just physical, the spiritual separation that occurred was that we might be restored. We rejoice in your broken body, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice. And as we hold the cup, we thank you, Lord, for the blood which cleanses us from sin. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come now, let us reason together, Isaiah said. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Take of the bread and take of the cup as the Lord leads. What I love the most about communion is the fact that we are eating this bread and taking this cup. We proclaim the Lord's death, and we also proclaim his soon return. And how we long for your return, Lord Jesus. This world in which we live, Lord, is out of control, but under yours. And we cry out as your children, Maranatha, come quickly. Until he returns, may we be found faithful, walking in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've received, rejoicing in the God of our salvation, and hearing from and responding to his sweet voice as he directs our every step. In the name of Jesus, amen.